Welcome to the Couple Money Podcast, where we discuss building up your marriage and your net worth. Here's your host, Elle Martinez.
Buying a house is most likely the biggest purchase the two of you will make, beyond the down payment and mortgage. Being a homeowner usually means having other expenses to stay on top of, like property taxes, basic repairs, and home maintenance. If you buy a house well within your budget, these expenses are manageable. So preparing now for them can make the transition go a lot smoother. Lauren Bowling from LB and the Money Tree is here today to share her story and tips. She goes over buying a fixer-upper, funding renovations, finding a reliable contractor, and a lot more. If you want to find out how to go from a renter to a homeowner, this is your episode. Lauren is a very sweet and honest voice behind LB and the Money Tree, where she writes about building net worth with different income streams. And she's also the host of the Awkward Money Chat. I asked her to give a little bit of her background about why she started writing about money.
So I started the blog in 2012. I had recently moved back home from 2 years in New York City. It didn't work out. I tucked my tail between my legs and came back home. And I was unemployed, and my mom said, you know, you should just start a blog to keep your skills sharp. And so I did, and it took off, and I leveraged the blog into this marketing career, and now I work full-time for myself. But I worked at a hedge fund in New York City, and I wanted to just start a blog about finance to get people talking about it, because I feel like when we're aware of things and we talk about them and they're, you know, at the top of mind, then we learn more about them by proxy. So that's sort of the inspiration behind the blog.
One of the topics that Lauren has written about is being a homeowner. She bought a property a few years back in Atlanta, Georgia.
As I said, in 2012, I moved back to Atlanta. Things were going well. A year later, I knew I wanted to stay in Atlanta for the long term, and being a finance blogger and consuming so much financial news, I thought it would be a good idea to invest this cash windfall I received from working in New York into real estate. And at the time, I was also engaged, and we decided to look for a home that we could eventually grow into. I wanted to buy something like a condo or an apartment or a house, and I said, this would be a really good idea, a good thing to do with the money. And he said, yeah, but it needs to be a single family home with a lot of space, someplace we could stay put for a little while and recoup our money. So that was how that went. It was an easy sell.
While it was an easy decision to go with a house, the process of buying and then renovating it did take some effort.
So I've been an HGTV junkie my whole life, which has not served me well. I actually hate DIY and working on the house. It just frustrates me because I'm impatient. But at the time, I was like, I want a fixer-upper that I can make my own. And my mortgage broker said, you know, that's very adventurous of you. If a foreclosure or a fixer-upper is what you want, that they have down payment assistance programs here in Atlanta for people who make under a certain income. If you buy a home in a zip code that was hit very hard with foreclosures during the economic downturn. And so I said, oh, this is an advantage. This is great. So I ended up getting a foreclosure for that reason. And so the home needed a ton of work. Basically, everything brand new. I think I did everything except take down walls. So I used bank money to renovate the home. There's a product called a 203K renovation loan, mm-hmm. where you can take out, I don't know the limits, but you can take out a certain amount to renovate the home, and then that cost is lumped in with your mortgage each month.
Okay.
So I took out, I think, close to $60,000. Because that was what the contractor said it would need. And then he did the work, and there was a consultant who came from the bank to check his work, and then he would release the funds. I'd get FedExed a check from the bank, and I'd have to sign it and send it to the contractor. And that's how that worked. So I came up out of pocket later when costs for the renovation went over, but the large chunk of money came from the bank.
With home renovations, you're not only worried about costs, but you're also looking for quality work that meets code and your needs. Lauren dealt with contractors, good and bad, and has some advice on finding a reliable one.
The bank had a list of approved contractors that they worked with before with this particular type of renovation loan product. So you had to get a contractor approved by the bank.
Okay.
My real estate agent actually recommended someone, which was a huge mistake. It was just someone she knew. He never worked on her home. And I ended up having a lot of issues with the contractor. Going over and charging money and being really dishonest. And so I have a contractor now who is a referral from a friend who is a real estate investor. He's done a ton of work for her, and I'm very pleased. So I would say to find a reliable contractor, absolutely check references. Try to get a word of mouth referral from someone you know very well and trust, not just someone you kind of know. Because when it's that much money, you can't afford to be lazy and not do your homework.
Besides dealing with the cost of renovations, Lauren also discovered some other home-owning expenses that she had to pay out of pocket.
Like the first 3 weeks in my home, I moved in the summer, and it rained a lot, and the grass was growing so quickly. And I was like, I need a lawnmower and a hedge trimmer. And so I went to Home Depot and spent like $600 on it. And it just felt, it was a lot. And it just didn't occur to me that I needed that. So there's tons of stuff.
Thankfully, Lauren could handle these costs because she had developed a habit for saving. Before buying the house, she usually set aside 20% of her paycheck, giving her a nice cushion. Being so money savvy, I asked her if she had any advice for couples looking at buying a house.
Even if you're engaged and it's going well, you should wait until you're legally married to buy a home, because so many things can happen, and we obviously didn't work out, and I now have a single family home that's 4 bedrooms, 2 baths, which is way more room than I need. They should decide if they want to buy the home jointly. Most do, but depending upon income, or if someone doesn't have a great credit score, or depending on if there's a grant or a down payment assistance program and you qualify on one income but not two, it can be beneficial to buy under one name. But the downside of that is that using one income to qualify for a smaller mortgage amount. So that's the first thing you kind of need to hammer out. The second I would recommend is to get really aggressive with your savings goals. I see this a lot of times with my friends or people I know or people who write to me on the blog. A lot of people save up just enough for a down payment and they buy at the very top of their price range. And then they don't have anything left over for an emergency cushion or for those other hidden fees, such as closing costs, inspections, new furniture, movers. I mean, there's a lot of expenses getting into a home and then once you own it. So you don't want to completely drain your savings just to make that first purchase. I also recommend buying for the home that you need right now and not necessarily purchasing for a life you aspire to, or maybe a situation that you think you'll find yourself in, because things change. And I think it's important to keep in mind to not bite off more than you can chew, payment-wise. And then also, I think the biggest mistake I made was thinking that as a first-time buyer, I could handle a $60,000 renovation on the home. So anytime someone asks, and I do get asked this question a lot, I say, if you're a first-time buyer, buy something that's in practically move-in-ready condition. I think like maybe painting and countertops and little cosmetic fixes are fine, but when you get into the deep, heavy remodeling, it's a lot to take on when you don't know the lay of the land.
I want to thank Lauren for being so open and helpful with her story. If you haven't already, please visit LB in the Money Tree. You should also check out her fantastic series, Awkward Money Chats. The second season just premiered. Don't forget to hear the latest episodes of the Couple Money Podcast. Go ahead and subscribe. It's free. We're available on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. You can also leave a review of the show on any of those sites. I'd love to hear what you think. The feed is also available on couplemoneypodcast.com, so you can grab it on whatever service you prefer. Please join us next week when Wendy Dawson, a mortgage loan officer from Coastal Credit Union, takes us through the process of finding the best mortgage for you. Until next time, take care.